If any of you were here last Sunday, then you remember, of course, which psalm we talked about. Of course you do, because your mind is a steel trap and you never forget anything. But if you're like me, you might need to be reminded that it was Psalm 56. And therefore, as we step through the psalms, which one might we come to today? Psalm 57. But here's the situation. Psalm 57 is almost a mirror image of Psalm 56. Last week, David was hiding in a cave, and he was running for his life, and he was afraid because people were trying to kill him, especially King Saul. And so he hid himself in the city of Gath, a Philistine city, after he had just killed the Philistine giant, Goliath, and Gath happened to be the hometown of Goliath. Does any of that ring a bell? And one of the main things that David said in Psalm 56 is, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. The bottom line of Psalm 56 was not to focus on the fear, but to focus on the Lord. Well, this week, Psalm 57, David's still hiding. He's still in a cave. He's still concerned for his life because people are trying to kill him. And the bottom line of Psalm 57 is exactly the same. Do not focus on the fear, but focus on the Lord. So, there's not much new I can say about Psalm 57. I almost skipped it for that very reason. But then this thought came to my mind. And it was, you know, it was almost like a little voice that was talking to me. And it said, Harry, there are people in your congregation who are dealing with fears. Open Psalm 57. So there. Brothers and sisters, the more I thought about that, the more these two things came to my mind. The first is that each and every one of us deals with fears. I have fears. You have fears. Sometimes we try to hide them successfully. Sometimes we ignore them or try to ignore them, but sometimes they're quite obvious to all the people around us. Hopefully, we've all outgrown our childish fears, but sometimes we don't. We haven't. And as Christians, I think we all know that we are not supposed to walk in fear. We're supposed to walk in faith. I'll say that again in case you didn't hear it. We're not supposed to walk in fear. We're supposed to walk in faith. But sometimes we don't. At least I don't. Maybe you do. But sometimes I don't. Now, the second thing that came to my mind was, how can I get up here this morning and help you deal with your fear? Because I'm as vulnerable as you are to this. So, I actually got what I would call cold feet. And then I realized that I was afraid of failing. I was allowing fear to control me, and I was trying to run away and hide. Pitiful, but honest. So I asked God to help me prepare this sermon to help you, and he said, okay, so here we go. I turned to the sacred pages of Google, and I asked Google, what are the top 10 fears that most people face? And you know what happened? I got multiple lists of top 10 from multiple sources. Some were from the world of medicine. Some were from the world of the government. Some of them were Christian organizations. And many, many more. But I chose just one list that seemed to be the most prominent one that was popping up in the sacred pages of Google. And this is top 10 things that people are afraid of Number one, you know what? Guess what number one is? The guess was loneliness. The top fear is a fear of public speaking. Number two is the fear of height. Number three is the fear of going to the dentist. Ding dong, I hit some. Number four is the fear of snakes. I used to have an office in the basement of my house. And one day I was in the basement of my house. I was working at my computer. And there's a skylight right up there above my head, you know, in the peripheral vision. And I saw something moving. And I looked up and there was coming a snake into my house. I panicked. So the first thing I did was I called my next door neighbor, Will. And I said, Will, are you afraid of snakes? And he said, only the poisonous kind. And I said, well, I'm afraid of both of them, and I've got one coming into my office. Could you come over here and help me? And Will came over, God bless him, Will came over. It was a garter snake. It was a harmless little snake. And he picked it up by the tail, and he went and he threw it in the woods, and I felt very silly. But boy, was I glad for Will there. That was number four. Number five is the fear of flying. I'm not afraid to fly. I'm afraid of airports. At least at this stage of life. Number six is the fear of spiders and insects. Eek! Number seven is the fear of enclosed spaces. Claustrophobia. Number eight is the fear of mice. Number nine really surprised me. Number nine is the fear of dogs. Now, I mean, yeah, some dogs can be ferocious, but, you know, most dogs are loving and love humans. I'm surprised. And the last one, number 10, the fear of thunder and lightning. Oh, I see some people nodding their heads. I kind of like thunder and lightning. It's exciting. Did you relate to any of those or not? Let me confess something. The number one fear on that list, the fear of public speaking. Now, my empathy button for people who have that fear is absolutely empty. Because, in case you don't know this, I have no fear of speaking in public. And I can hardly understand why other people have that fear. But that very thought made me realize something. I have been guilty of judging and belittling. Say that word for me. Thank you. Other people, because they have the fear of public speaking. No. Your fears, whatever they are real to you. It's not for me to judge you. It's not for me to belittle you. And the logical extension of that is each of us has to examine ourselves in how we treat other people when we see fear in them. By the way, if you have a fear of public speaking, and I know some of you do, if you had a fear of public speaking, you are in good company. Do you remember this story? It started in Exodus 4. God was talking to Moses, and he said, Moses, I want you to go, and I want you to tell the Jews I'm going to free them from slavery in Egypt. And right out of the gate, Moses tried to get out of it by revealing a major fear of his. It's not one of the fears that's on the list of top 10. But this is what Moses said to God. He said, but what if they don't believe me? There it is, the fear of what if? What if? Some people allow those two words to guide their lives. That fear alone can paralyze a person. And then later in the story, in Exodus 10, God tried to increase Moses' faith by working all these miracles with Moses' staff. But it wasn't working. Moses still tried to get out of the dilemma. And he said, Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. There it is. Moses was afraid of public speaking because he got tongue-tied and he stuttered. And this is what the Lord said to him. The Lord said to Moses, who gave human beings their mouths? I love that. Duh. Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will speak for you, and I will teach you what to say. I wonder how Moses felt when God told him that. Afraid. Now, just in case you did not realize what I did there, I was trying to give you some help from God on dealing with your fear of public speaking, if you have it. And then I decided I might just go through that whole list of top 10 that I read and give you God-centered things about each one. God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. But do you remember what I told you? There were multiple lists from multiple sources. And here are just a few of the other things that I found on some of the other lists. Fear of needles. Fear of social interaction. Fear of germs. I have a granddaughter who's a germaphobe. Never had that in my family before, but, well, never mind. And here's one that extends to lots of senior citizens. Fear of new technology. I hit a nerve. Have you found your phobias yet in any of these lists? Here are some more. And this is from a government survey. Government survey. The fear of corruption in the government. Or the fear of economic collapse. Or the fear of nuclear weapons. Or the fear of cyber terrorism. We could go on and on and on. Who was it who said the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself? That was Franklin D. Roosevelt in his first inaugural address in 1933. What had happened? A few years earlier in 1929, the stock market crashed and there was a Great Depression. And here he was standing there in front of God and everybody, and he said those words. They almost sounded like Holy Scripture to people who were desperate at that time. And by the way, you don't have to go far to hear those messages today. I mean, I've just been hearing prediction after prediction after prediction on social media and everywhere that there's a big possibility of a stock market crash in 2025, this year. And that there is a big possibility of a Great Depression coming again next year. Fear. Fear. Could we be on the edge of another catastrophe? I don't know. Fear, fear, fear. It just seems to make the world go round. Does God have anything to say about all this? Duh. Here's just one. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, God said, so do not fear. Four words. So do not fear. Listen, because, he said, I am with you. I am with you. Say that. I am with you. Say this. God is with me. Oh, say it again. God is with me. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Those are really comforting words, brothers and sisters, even better than the words of Franklin D. Roosevelt. But Do they fall on an open heart or on deaf ears? Do you receive God's word there or do you not hear it? I'm talking about your heart and your ears, of course. In Psalm 91, which Debbie beautifully read earlier in the service, in Psalm 91, we read some other words of hope. And it starts with this. It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." In other words, like many other scriptures, God lays some responsibility on us. And in this case, it says, we must first dwell under his shelter. Then comes his promises. Psalm 91, verse 3, "Surely I will save you from the fowler's snare and from a deadly pestilence." And then he said in verse 5, "You will not fear. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." And I think that God might even go on if he wanted to and say, or snakes, or spiders, or germs, or everything else on any of those lists of top 10. A few verses later, it says, if you say, "The Lord is my refuge." Say that. The Lord is my refuge. Do you believe that? Have you embraced that? Is it in your heart? Is it in your veins? Say it again. The Lord is my refuge. Here's what he said. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. But don't miss the first word in that passage. If he lays responsibility on me and on you, it should be in all caps. We have a responsibility to focus on the Lord and not focus on our fears. We have a responsibility, an opportunity, a calling, a command to focus on the Lord and not to focus on our fears. Oh, I almost forgot. All this started with Psalm 57. David's hiding in a cave from King Saul. And here are his first words, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you I take my refuge." There it is. In you, Lord, I take my refuge. I hope you can say that with integrity and testify that you do place all your fears in his hands. I hope you can say that with integrity and that you can say that you do place all your fears in his hands. I do hope with integrity you can say, "I will place all my fears into his hands." In Psalm 57, David paints a rather bleak picture in verse 4 when he says this. He says, "I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." But then, just like he did in Psalm 56, in the very next verse, David turns it into praise and worship of God. He said, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. May your glory, Lord, be over all the earth." We have sung those words so many times. Full voice with full organ. I love that song. But is that really what you do when there are snakes and spiders and needles and thunder? Do you praise God first? Do you worship God, believing that he will deliver you? knowing that he will deliver you, walking in faith. Lest we focus too much on the Old Testament, God had things to say in the New Testament as well. This is John 14, 27. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." Right? Again, Debbie beautifully read this. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." There it is. There it is. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, what's next? All fear is gone. This is 2 Timothy 17. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love." And this is 1 John 4:18. "Perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And here is one more that I know you know very well. I know you've heard this scripture many, many times. You could probably recite it from memory, but I want you to hear it with new ears based on everything we've been saying so far. This is Philippians 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything." Holy mackerel, that is quite a mouthful. "Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation," it says, "every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God," the peace of God, "which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What a blessed scripture. I want to close with this. Sometimes fear is a good thing. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a different Greek word for fear. And that Greek word is literally translated reverence. Standing in awe of God. Fearing God by standing in awe of him. That's the kind of fear that recognizes the power of God and the love of God and the holiness of God. It's the kind of fear that leads you into worship of God. Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord," the reverence of the Lord, "is the beginning of wisdom." And that's the kind of fear that David displayed when he concluded Psalm 57. I wish I could time travel. I wish I could hear David sing this in his own voice. Here's what he sang. He said, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music." I love that. "I will sing and make music. Awake, harp and lyre. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing to you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Oh, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Don't you just want to sing it? "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens." Let your glory be over all the earth. With those words, David did exactly what we all need to do, especially if you are afraid. he turned his attention upward rather than inward. So, go home. Find a quiet place and think about what you fear. And then pray, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, that your glory be above all the earth. And when you do that, you will replace your bad fears with reverence for God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Do I hear it? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have laid a challenge out for my brothers and sisters and myself, and only you, Lord, can help us succeed. So I pray, Lord, that you will replace any fears we have in this life with confidence in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.